Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
Welcome to episode 347 of the Tennis Files podcast on beating John McEnroe, winning with confidence, and poker adventures with Vince Van Patten.
Welcome to the Tennis Files podcast, bringing you advice from the top minds in tennis to help you improve your game. And now, here's your host, Mehrban Iranshad.
Hey there, and welcome to another episode of the Tennis Files podcast. Really happy to have you listening to this episode, and I'm really excited for this one because I managed to get Vince Van Patten, who is such a talented man. He was a famous actor. He was formerly ranked as high as 26 in singles on the ATP Tour and 24 in the world in doubles. He is also one of the main voices of the World Poker Tour. I've actually played an event on that tour a couple years ago in the Venetian in Las Vegas. I don't know if you probably know that I play poker, but if those of you are new to listening to the show, definitely my second favorite hobby. Hopefully I won't be losing a lot of anti-gambling listeners at this point of the podcast, but yeah, I really enjoy it and obviously, you know, play within my means and such. But yeah, really, really cool guest. And, you know, those two activities are my favorite things to do just about. So definitely tennis for sure. And poker is probably number two, but really high up there for sure. And Vince also defeated John McEnroe, legend of the game, and also two other top 10 players when he won the Seiko World Super Tennis Tournament. Vince also reached the third round of the U.S. Open and Wimbledon in singles and the quarterfinals of the French Open in doubles. We talk about how Vince partied before the quarters of the French Open doubles tournament and kind of regretted it, but that's kind of a funny story. And Vince also has quite a bit in live poker tournament winnings and even more in cash games. So I don't know how many of you know the difference, but definitely accomplished actor, tennis player, and poker player. Really fantastic stuff. And I actually saw a post from Vince on Twitter, well, formerly known as Twitter, now X. And I left a message, a post, I guess, rather, that, you know, I'd love to interview him. And fortunately, shout out to the WP team, including Eric from WPT and also Lance. They really helped put this one together for me and, you know, contact Vince and get this episode done, you know, set up and done. So really appreciate that. And yeah, thanks again to Vince for coming on. So we're going to talk about, of course, Vince's successful tennis career as well as his acting career, and also get a bit into pickleball, which is his new obsession. Oh, yet another controversial topic for many of you, I'm sure. Yeah, and how, you know, he did in his poker games and, you know, his acting, you know, adventures as well. And yeah, definitely a famous guy, well-accomplished guy, and really a pleasure to speak with him. So without further ado, here's my interview with Vince Van Patten.
Everybody, welcome to this special episode of the Tennis Files podcast. I'm really honored to have on Vince Van Patten. Vince is a little bit like myself, but in a, you know, higher echelon, I would say, because, you know, my two loves, as you know, obviously tennis and then also poker, which I've got my WPT hat on here. And, you know, I've played one of them at the Venetian. Vince, you know, it was a 5K that I satellited in. I was so excited. And then I got knocked out, full house beat, flush of mine. And then, yeah, but at least I got this hat though. So, you know, I love it. I love playing there and, you know, love poker and tennis. So I guess my first question, Vince, is coming from a professional tennis background, your favorite poker hands got to be aces, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's always look down at aces, right? But it's a funny thing. I've won bigger pot. I'm more of a cash game player, but I've won bigger hands with 8-6 offsuit. Mm-hmm. Where you kind of slop in, or I was kind of getting involved, and you know, you can just make a home run with that type of hand. So that's my
opinion. Yeah, I like that one. This is suited gappers and whatnot. So Vince, what age did you start playing tennis, and how did you balance that with your acting career? Because I was talking with my buddy Peter, and you know, I mentioned your name, and the first thing he actually said was he remembered you from TV, but also tennis. So how did you balance all that?
Yeah, well, I was a child actor and acting since the age of 9, and then through my teens and still in the 20s and all that. But I balanced it. The only other thing I did really was play some tennis on the side. My father and mother would go to the public park in Hollywood, California, and we'd have to they dragged us along to play. I had no formal lessons at all, so I wasn't taught properly, but I was a good athlete, and so was my brother, and we were competitive. And so we got good. I watched great players like Laver and Borg play. You copy a little this, you copy a little that. I got kicked around in the junior tennis. I was not very good, didn't get a high ranking. So I had no chance, but it just evolved from there. I got beat up so many times, I decided that's enough. I'm going to figure out how to beat them.
So that's awesome. And as a follow-up to that, I mean, can you delve into a little bit about how you figured out how to beat them? I mean, did you go in an academy? Did you get, you know, a top-notch coach, or, you know, like just really change your technique, like a strategy? What happened there?
Nothing. I mean, I never had lessons, but I got physically stronger. When I was playing in the late 70s, growing up, nobody lifted weights in tennis. They said, oh, you can't lift weights. That's going to bog you down. That's not good for you. But I knew it felt good. You know, I was doing it to look better, right? But lo and behold, I got strong. And I started playing better tennis. So I think I was onto that before. Now everyone's lifting weights and they're doing all the body training. So that helped a lot. No real lessons in my game. I had no forehand. I just said, I'm going to take the racket back early, get my feet moving, and, you know, hit some topspin on it. So it evolved from there. I always had a great backhand, a natural two-handed backhand, and I could always move well. And I understood that how to beat players. I figured out, keep them back, come in, make, you know, don't miss too many shots, play airtight. And I got better and better, and I was a tough competitor. So I wound up beating these guys.
Yeah, those are a lot of the keys right there. You know, I always talk about the footwork. You know, a lot of players talk about the technique and, you know, where's their arm and this and that. But if you don't get into position in the first place, then you're screwed at that point. So can't hit anything.
Have heart and guts and be able to pull the trigger when it really counts and believe you can. And you got to believe you can beat anybody. So even when I was getting pushed around, even when I made it on the tennis circuit, I still believed I could beat any player on earth. And that's why I beat McEnroe a couple of times, because the big points came and I said, I'm going to beat him. I'm going to take him down.
So. Yeah, I love that. That's incredible attitude. I love that. And then how did the transition work out, if there was one, between acting and tennis? Because again, you know, you're high level, you know, acting and tennis and as we'll talk about later, poker announcing.
Yeah. Well, in tennis, so I played the circuit for 10 years. I was the ATP Rookie of the Year. I was top 25 in the world. I was top 50 for a long time.
Yeah.
I had some great results. I beat McEnroe and I had a lot of fun. And then eventually injuries happen and I hit 30 years old and press is always saying, okay, you're 30 years old. When are you going to retire? And that's in your mind. And back then, 30 years old was the time you retired. So I retired a little young. I could have kept going, but I was happy. I wanted to come back to Hollywood and make it as an actor again. And that didn't happen, because once you're sort of done, they forget about you. So wow. I start writing my own scripts and producing stuff. And that's why I made other films and things like that. And then things progressed from there. And then I was playing a lot of big poker and I got the World Poker Tour. So that's a blessing. And then my life has been one good thing after the next, because not everything's successful, of course, but one good thing, you put your heart and mind into it and lo and behold, it happens, you know?
Yeah, that's wonderful. So happy for you, Vince. And, you know, just going back a little bit to your tennis career, of course, I mean, 1979 Rookie of the Year award by the ATP Tour. So can you kind of summarize like your first year? Because usually the first year is, you know, really tough, you know, getting introduced to the pro levels of the game. And, you know, as we know, like the lower levels, they barely make any money and can't survive on the Futures Tour and such. So how was that first year for you and how did it get to be so amazing that you became the Rookie of the Year?
Yeah, it was amazing. I never thought I was going to make it as a pro, and I was getting beat up and losing in this and that tournament, and went to the qualifying over at Wimbledon, lost third round, and couldn't even get on the ground, so watch Wimbledon. Went home depressed, gave up the game for 2 months, then in the fall would play some satellites, and did okay, lost first and second round. I wasn't really beating anybody. But the next spring, I took it one more shot on the American Express Tour in the summertime, and I had a qualifier, pre-qualifier for every tournament. But lo and behold, my game started to click. We got through the qualifying, and then I started beating players. And I think I won one tournament, came to the finals in another, and I was beating, pretty good players, right? The 100 in the world and 80 in the world. Before you knew it, I was top 40 in the world, and I'm straight into Cincinnati, and I'm playing Bob Lutz in the second round and Tom Alker in the third round. And these are my idols, and I'm tagging them. I'm beating them bad. Oof. And I got to the semis, I think. I lost to Solomon in three sets. The next thing I know, I'm at the U.S. Open, and I'm like the candidate to be the rookie of the year. Me and this guy named Yvonne Lendl. And lo and behold, Yvonne and I play in the first round. We both don't get seated. We play in the first round, and we have this great match. This was for the rookie of the year match. I'm beating him up a break in the first. Sawdust gets into my eyes, right? Blows my. I don't want to make excuses, but I swear I couldn't see a ball after that. I lose the match. So Yvonne got the World Tennis Rookie of the Year. I got ATP Rookie of the Year. And from there, I was on the tour. I thought I could beat anybody. And I had a great career after that. Now, the irony of all this is now I'm playing pickleball. And guess who my partner is? Yvonne Lendl. We're playing the 60th pro. We just played one in Daytona Beach. We're going to play one at Flushing Meadows in a couple of months. The 60th doubles. And Yvonne and I are having a blast with this game. He loves it. And it's gone full circle there.
That's amazing. So happy to hear that. I've actually been texting with your other doubles partner, Mel Purcell, from back in the day. I'm going to try to get some sorted there. And yeah, I remember actually in the car listening to one of Brad Gilbert's very first podcast episodes, because I had him on the podcast too. He was awesome. And yeah, it was with you, and it helped me prepare here. But that's wonderful. I want to talk about too what your experience was like winning the Seiko World Super Tennis Tournament in Tokyo. I think that's where you defeated John McEnroe, right? Is that, yeah.
Beat back there in the semis. I beat Jose Luis Clark in the second round, and I was down 3 match points to him. And it goes to show you, if you get past match points on a big player, all of a sudden you go, okay, let me have him. I'm going to win this tournament. You get how match points, come back to win. And then I beat Vitas Gerulaitis in the quarters, beat Johnny Mack in the semis, beat Mark Edmondson, who was beating everybody there too, in the finals. So I won the tournament. Confidence is a big thing. 2 months before that at the U.S. Open, I had no confidence. I think I lost to Vitas or someone like that. I was playing terrible. And I went, I'm going to go on the satellites. I'm going to go and drop down into smaller tournaments. And I did. I played the LA Open, $25,000 tournament. Got to the finals, still playing bad. Then I go to Tel Aviv, and I get to the semis there. Now I'm gaining confidence. I win a $25,000 tournament in Athens, Greece on clay. And then I go to Asia. And now all of a sudden I have won a whole bunch of matches. And the rest is, tennis history, because once you get confidence, you start believing you could beat anybody, and that's what happened.
So, Vince, with the element of confidence, did you have that from a young age? Did you get it instilled from maybe your parents or a particular event or anything? Like, how did you end up with that ability to be like that? Because a lot of players, they have the opposite, where they're playing against a seed and they think, I'm toast. So how do you think like that?
I think I've always been a scrapper. We came from Long Island, New York. I moved when I was 12 years old out here. And I was the smallest in the family. And we were playing football in the street, baseball in the streets of Long Island, really. And we did every sport. And we played a little tennis in the summertime at this fireman's place, 2 tennis courts. And we were just like little athletes, just always trying to, top each other and be athletic. So when I came out to California, it evolved from there. And so it's been a dream life. I just think that if you move well and you believe you can win and you understand how to win, you just have to hit one more ball more than your opponent. You just have to put the ball on the dime when you want to, and you believe you can do that, and you train for that. That's another thing. I love practice. I love training. I don't care. I train hard. I don't care if I win or lose in training as much. But when I go to that tournament, I'm ready. So I think that's a big part of it.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely have that intensity in training and hopefully it transfers. So in terms of, you know, the Grand Slams, Vince, playing those again versus like 250s, 500s, et cetera, did you feel any difference? Like, were there more nerves or more preparation or anything like that? Or for you, was it just, you know, same old?
No, it was big. You want to get up for the slams. And I never really did that well in the slams. I had very tough draws at the U.S. Open. I hit Johnny Mack in the third round when I was still ranked by 28. But back then, they only seeded 16. Yeah, they seeded 32. I'd have been seeded. I wouldn't have hit him to the round of 16, you know.
Yeah.
I lost to him twice at the U.S. Open. Wimbledon, I played. I lost to Jarryd in the third round. He went on to lose to Becker in five, and then Becker won it. But the big ones, it's there's so much that, you know, the pressure. It's exciting pressure, you know. It's so much fun to play them. And you just hope you can have a great 2 weeks at that time.
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at newbalance.com.
Yeah, definitely, Vince. In terms of, you know, your doubles partners, I mentioned Mel, and, you know, you've got Yvonne now with pickleball. What advice do you have for picking a good doubles partner that, you know, complements your game and can take you far?
Yeah, back then, I didn't even take doubles seriously. So Mel and I were friends, and he was always a funny guy, and good guy. We just clicked, you know, and so we played a few tournaments. I think we got to the quarters of the French. And we were like partying the night before. We just, okay, we're in the quarters, you know, who cares? And we lose a match and that was it. Now you look back and go, geez, I should, you know, take it a little bit more seriously. But then I played with Yvonne actually in a couple of tournaments. I think it was the Tournament of Champions in New York at Forest Hills, because we just kind of, we liked each other. And he was a funny guy too, actually. And then San Francisco, we played one. I think we got to the final and lost to Mac and Fleming there. Just back then, you know, I was a singles player. And so then, of course, Brad Gilbert and I were great friends and great, and we played tournaments and we did very well. So that's it. I think you got to get along with your partner and like the person, not feel pressure from them for sure. Because if the guy's too intense and he's not clicking with you or vice versa, that's not good. You want to have fun.
Yeah, very true. Yeah, it seems like, you know, Brad, similar to your game style, just in the sense, like, well, more mentally, really, because he was quite a scrapper, you know, probably read his book, those of you listening, and yeah, Winning Ugly. So you both have that strategic mind as well. So that's awesome. Vince, what would you say your biggest strength on the court was, and how did you try to set up matches to try to utilize that?
Yeah, I mean, I was a returner, and I had speed, foot speed, and a tough competitor. So, you know, you also want to set up matches with guys that you don't like their style. So I didn't like guys that would outsteady me, out-rally me. The Swedes, I hated playing most of the Swedes. But you want to practice with them. You want to just get in there and lose battles and try to improve that way. Guys that came in serving volleyers, I beat most all of them, you know, that were in the top 10, because they would come in and give me a target, and that's that. So, but you got to play against players that you don't like to play, of course, and you got to keep trying things on the practice court.
Yeah, awesome, Vincent. Did you have any sort of like pre-match routine, you know, a few hours before the match, a few minutes before, or even the night before?
Not really. I used to wear a red bandana. That was my lucky bandana. I wore that. Now I do on the pickleball court, I'm going to wear that. But nothing really. You know, back in the 70s and 80s, you didn't stretch as much. No one stretched as much. And you were just kind of limber. I couldn't touch my toes then. I can't touch my toes now. But you just kind of want to just be prepared and not have too much busyness going on, of course, a few hours ahead. You just want to try to focus and try to relax. That was my routine.
Yeah, good stuff. Keeping it relaxed. Good. And then, you know, there's obviously this debate that everyone has over like who are the GOATs in tennis. So do you have maybe like a top three, you know, male, female, whoever, you know, of all time players for you?
Very tough to say, as we all know. I mean,
yeah.
Bjorn retired. Bjorn Borg retires at 27. You know, there's a lot of ifs, but the way he dominated the game, especially on clay, if he plays another 10 years, how many majors does he win? You know, a ton. So the greatness of his greatness was awesome. Now the guys have a team around them. It's a lot easier to play 15 years later, not get burnt out. You have psychologists and all that. So Bjorn was great. Obviously, Laver, the way he dominated, incredible. I love Pete and Andre. They were just awesome. I mean, just great, great rivalry. And then these last three, you know, just these guys, Nadal and, oh, gosh. I think Nadal's a very, very exciting player. Probably one of my favorites to watch. Just his pure intensity and every point. And then Djokovic is just, he's an enigma. I mean, this guy is just, what he's doing is just amazing. And he doesn't even eat candy. I mean, he says he hasn't eaten anything bad in 10 years. And I believe him. And then he has a little candy bar and he takes a little piece of it. I'm going, okay, he deserves it. Okay, he deserves it. So Federer, beautiful, beautiful game. And so I have so much respect for these guys in their games. And I still love watching it. Although I have to say, they should have kept it to wood rackets. Just keep it wood rackets. Don't speed things up so much. Now it's almost too fast. It's almost too much like ping pong. Wouldn't it have been more interesting? The body could have evolved and you're playing with rackets and materials that aren't going to improve everybody. So you can judge it a bit. So, my opinion.
Hey, that'd be a fun one. I know they have these like wooden racket tournaments. I forgot the name of it, but I had a couple friends who played it before. But I feel like we'd all be stronger, you know, having to lug the wood around, maybe.
Yeah, and even the small head. I mean, the equipment has changed so much. I love the thing that the Hawkeye showing the proper calls. That's the greatest invention ever for tennis.
Yeah.
It makes you question Johnny Mac, as great as he is. I mean, he wouldn't be able to argue anything. He wouldn't be able to stall. Would he have been as great? Who knows? Maybe he would have adjusted to it. But I just love that it's so fair. And that's another thing about tennis that I love, is that it came along. There was so much politics in the 60s with who's best, who's going to get in these tournaments, who's ranked. And then all of a sudden, they came around with the computer, ATP computer. And that kind of saved me, because in Southern Cal, for whatever reason, I never officially got ranked, I don't think, high as I should have. And that computer came around, and if you did it, you proved it, there was no stopping you. It's the fairest thing in sports, and I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, definitely, Vince. I agree with you there. So a little bit more about poker, obviously. So I know in the 90s, you put together a really cool Hollywood game with a lot of famous people like Ben Affleck and Tobey Maguire. I know there's some stuff that's probably private you don't want to share, but is there any crazy stories or upswings, downs? Maybe you or the others experienced during the game?
It's a great game. Started in the early 90s, got bigger and bigger and bigger until finally I brought it over to Beverly Hills, and then Affleck and Toby played. And we were playing for big dollars, scary money, and there was ups and downs, and all these guys loved to bet on anything, too. We had prop bets, side bets. But overall, I did pretty well. I was always a good cash game player. But here's what's crazy. We made a bet one time, a prop bet. First of all, I used to bet on anything. Before the game would start, I would go to the basketball court and everybody would come out. I'd say, okay, I'm going to take the ball. And from half court, I think I can make 1 out of 10. Okay, I'll bet against it. Blah, blah, blah. I'll bet 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. All right. I bet I would always hit it. I was not a great basketball player, but I would throw it like a football and I would get it again. So eventually they said, no, now you got to do it with 7 throws only. Okay, bets, 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 I would win that. It came down to the point where I was throwing only 4 baskets, 4 throws to make a basket. That's a tough bet. And I would blow it all back. I couldn't do it with 4, but 5, I could usually make it. So anyway, we'd make all kinds of bets like this before the poker game. And then during the poker game, we'd play poker. And one of the side bets, prop bets, that I came up with was that I could walk from L.A. to Las Vegas in 7 days. And a guy bet me $500,000, right? And that's, I was going to do it. I never actually even did the bet. We wound up settling. Oh. Okay. But we made the movie. I wrote the movie 7 days to Vegas because of that. And fictionalized as well. But it was based on walking to Vegas for $1 million and everybody comes to watch me lose. And it was successful and it was a crazy game. It all came from that game, a real game, which I stopped playing in around 2006 because the game kind of moved and the stakes were getting too big and I just couldn't afford it, the ups and downs. So that's kind of my poker cash game story.
Yeah. No, gotcha. That's amazing. Amazing game there. How did you end up getting your gig at the WPT? I mean, it's obvious, you know, you have such a great voice and I enjoy listening to you, but yeah, how did that all get started?
Simply at the time of 2001, I did the World Series event in 98 because my father used to do that event. That's before you could see the cards. No one saw the cards. So it wasn't that interesting. Didn't get ratings. No one cared, you know, but I did that. And when they were doing the World Poker Tour, Steve Lipscomb, who came up with the idea of, hey, I'm going to show the cards, was looking for a second person. He had Mike Sexton, who helped raise the money. Mike's a friend of mine, you know, back in the 90s. Anyway, they contacted me. Hey, Vince, what are you doing? Would you be interested? I said, yeah, sure, let's do it. So that's how it happened. Simple as that. And never thought, Mike and I never thought it was going to go for. Still going 21 years now. It's going strong, stronger than ever. And it's great. Mike was a great guy. He passed away a few years ago. One of my best friends ever. But World Poker Tour is a special thing. And Steve Lipscomb came up with it.
Yeah. Just special. Yeah. I mean, you and Mike, just legendary pair. And you're still carrying the torch there. I guess, you know, you're obviously watching and commentating on all these tournaments. You got any predictions? I'm curious for maybe who might have a breakout year next year. Any favorites, you think?
It keeps moving around. I mean, there's so many great players. And by the way, Tony Dunst is now my co-host, commentator. He's doing a great job, and he's a great tournament player. So you never know. Tony could just hit it big, you know. But he's fantastic. You know, I don't even keep track. Once I stop doing the shows, film them, I move on, and I do sports and pickleball now and tennis and whatever. And I don't really stay with tournament poker as much. I try to take breaks from that because it's just, you know, it's too much. So
yeah,
no real prediction there.
Yeah, no, I got you. So, you know, I know a lot of tennis players who play poker competitively and love it, including myself, of course. Have you seen any similarities between both sports?
Yeah, for sure. You got to be a gambler to begin with. You got to love the competition. You got to hate to lose. And you have that great concentration. Mm-hmm. And you got to be able to come up with the big shot at the right time. And that's the big call. Or the big bluff. If you don't have the guts to do that, the heart to do that, you won't be great in poker. And that's the same as in tennis. So I think there's a lot of similarities.
Yeah, I agree. You know, with poker, especially tournament poker, when I'm playing, it's like you make one wrong move, you're toast, and that can be the same. You know, you're in a third set tie break, you know, you just double fault or make an error and you lose. So it's a very challenging, both sports, and I love them. Yeah. Tell us a bit more about your, you know, pickleball obsession. I guess I would say, you know, you're playing a lot. Like, how frequently are you playing, and, you know, any tournaments coming up and, you know, things like that?
Yeah. I'm on the 50s pro tour, you know, otherwise known as the Bone on Bone tour. So I've been playing that. I'm ranked top 10 in singles. I play the doubles. I'm also playing the 60s. So usually when I'm playing guys that are 50, 51, 52, 53, those are the top guys. And I'm 66 and I'm beating a lot of these guys, and, you know, I have wins over most all of them. So I like the competition. I like that it keeps me young. I'm also playing the 60s now with doubles with Yvonne Lendl, you know? So we're doing that on the pro tour as well. There's all kinds of tournaments. It reminds me of the tennis days when things were really fun out there, when you're just starting out. And everybody's on the court. Everybody's in a good mood. And there's tons of friends. That's what pickleball is all about now. I don't think it's going away. I think it's huge. Once you get hooked, it's such a great, great sport. So, yeah, I got the U.S. Open in Naples in about 4 weeks. I go to Miami this week for the APP event. I got the U.S. I got the Flushing Meadow tournament where I'm playing with Lendl in May. So, I know, I do World Poker Tour and I do pickleball. And I'm very happy doing both.
That's awesome. Maybe when you play the APP in Miami, you can go to the Miami Open as well.
I know.
Watch some tennis. Yeah.
Thinking about it. Yeah.
That'd be sweet.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Now, also, I want to tell you about WPT. We're doing the Voyage.
Yeah. This is my next question.
It's going to be spectacular. Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. It's going to be spectacular. You can still sign up. Virgin Voyage. WPTVirginVoyage.com. You can still get on board. It's going to be amazing. I mean, this is the ultimate in cruises. And we go out of Miami on March 31st. We get back April 6th. It's all poker players. There's a $25,000 tournament. There's a $5,000 tournament. It's going to be televised on the World Poker Tour. There's a $150 tournament. There's cash games every day. and there's pickleball. I'm going to have the Vincent Van Patten first pickleball tournament on the Grand Cayman Island. I'm bringing in Matthias Johansson, who's number one in the 50s, with me. We're going to have a great day. We're going to teach people. We're going to have drinks. We're going to have challenges. We're going to have round robin. So that will be a great day of pickleball. But we'll have poker throughout the whole week. And believe me, this is the ultimate in cruise lines, the Virgin Voyage. So I hope people join us. It's almost sold out right now. So jump in there. If you love poker, if you love pickleball, it's going to be a blast.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, that sounds like heaven, basically. And so, again, you can find all the information that you need and book it at, was it WPTVoyage.com, was it?
Yeah, WPTVirginVoyage.com.
VirginVoyage.com. Okay, perfect. Perfect. We'll get it. We'll definitely put the link in the show notes page.
It's WPT. I'm just reading this out. It's actually WPTVoyage.com. You're right. So there you go.
Okay. Oh, no worries. Yeah, that's what Eric sent. But yeah, I'll definitely post the link on the show notes page. And yeah, Vince, I know you got a busy day going up ahead, but I really appreciate you joining. Always wanted to interview you, you know, with the intersection of tennis and poker. So really appreciate you coming on the Tennis Files podcast. And everybody, again, check out the cruise at WPTVoyage.com. And yeah, Vince, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you. And it sounds like we got to play some tennis and play some poker sometime. It'd be a lot of fun.
That'd be awesome. Definitely, Vince. Thanks so much and have a great day.
Yeah, you too.
Thanks. All right. I really hope that you enjoyed my interview with Vince Van Patten. Vince, thanks so much for coming on to the show. Really appreciate it. And thanks again to Lance and Eric for setting this up. If you enjoyed this episode and got value from it and were entertained by it, I really would appreciate it if you leave a review for the show at tennisfiles.com/Apple Podcasts with an S at the end. Or on your favorite podcast app of choice that you use to listen to the show. We just find that Apple Podcasts is the biggest mover of the show in terms of visibility of the show and rankings as well, which I don't care as much about really, but this is mainly to get the show exposed to as many people as possible. I do appreciate that. I also want to leave you with a quote as I do at the end of every show, and this one is by Karen Lamb. And Karen said, a year from now, you will wish you had started today. I think about that and experience that quite often. So definitely don't let that happen to you too many times. And I also just want to, again, encourage you, if you're interested, to check out the WPT Poker Cruise that's coming up. And you can find all the information on that, the one that Vince and I talked about briefly, at WPTVoyage.com, link in the show notes page. So definitely something that I would really enjoy as well. So, all right. Well, with that, thanks so much for listening. Really appreciate it. And we'll see you next time on the Tennis Files podcast. This is your host, Mayor Bonaranchad, signing out.
Thanks for listening to the Tennis Files podcast. For more tips to help you improve your tennis game, visit TennisFiles.com.